So our lesson is on forgiving one another. It's on page 70 if you're in the workbook at home, if you've got the worksheet to follow along. And then in the workbook, you can also take notes on the discussion and the lesson notes on pages 72 and 73. But hopefully you have that worksheet available too to fill in the blanks, kind of help keep you on track. I know they do me to have those blanks to fill in and get them right. But again, an important lesson for us this morning. Our text, we'll be reading out of Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. And so we'll stand together and read that text, if you would, and then we'll pray. So Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you, Lord, as we just sing and study and read about your forgiveness. As all those of us that have accepted that forgiveness, what a precious gift, Lord, as we realize the need to receive your gift of forgiveness. We thank you for that. And because of that, Lord, this morning we pray you'd help us to seek to forgive others unconditionally as well, that we might pass on that great gift you have given to us to others. Lord, and with that comes the understanding that forgiveness is, true forgiveness is only possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, and we pray in his precious name. Amen. You may be seated. So forgiveness. Some things, all of us in probably certain situations, certain relationships struggle with. And we've certainly been on the receiving end, I'm sure, of that struggle. And it's just a good reminder to address that as we look into this. You know, we have a tendency, when we hear a Bible truth, to think of other people. Amen? I mean, I think, oh, I hope so-and-so is tuning in this morning. You know, I'm looking for you. And, you know, it's easy to do. Or say, oh, when it's done, I sure hope, you know, she heard that message this morning. Well, I'm going to call and say, you better watch this if you didn't. You know, that's our tendency, right? And there's probably some truth to that. I've kind of found that whenever I feel real strong that way, I ought to probably be looking in the mirror. Because sometimes what we get most upset with in other people are our own issues that we have. I've seen that over and over again. You know, even good preaching, good strong preaching, but it turns out they're really preaching it themselves. And because we just, maybe that's because we relate to it so well, because it's our own struggle. And, you know, this is certainly an area we do that. You know, I could think, well, this would really be good for my spouse. Amen. It's in the book, dear. I didn't write that. Or for your friend, or for a coworker, especially. How many, boy, that would be a good one for so-and-so to hear. But today's study applies to every single person. You are not exempted. You know, even if you're home and hiding, you're not exempted from this lesson. You've got to listen to this. Because all of us have times in our lives when we have been wronged. You know, I'm sorry, but we have. All of us have times when we need to forgive. Not only have we been wronged, maybe we've wronged others. Not even maybe, we have. You know, accidentally, maybe on purpose. Doesn't really matter. We've done it. And we need to address that. Forgiving another person can be hard. Sometimes it seems impossible. But if we're going to live a life without ongoing conflict and not be eaten up by bitterness, we have to learn to forgive. You know, how many of all these lessons come back to bitterness and the root of bitterness? You know, and it's just that, and who do we poison? Whatever we talk, we poison ourselves if we let that build up. And unforgiveness is certainly a sign of bitterness. This is why in our text, God admonishes us to forgive one another. To forgive means to pardon or show undeserved favor to the person who has wronged you. We understand that when we're on the receiving end, but to show undeserved favor to the person who has wronged you. So that means to, you know, not only just be okay with them, but give them undeserved favor, almost, you know, make them a favorite, if you will, at least in prayer. That's really a tall order, amen, to treat them with favor when they don't deserve it. But that's the definition of forgive. There's a quote there in your book that says, forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. I like that. Giving up my right to hurt you. Because what do we, you know, when somebody hurts us, what? We go, I'm going to get them back. I want to hurt them back. That's just our natural inclination, you know, that because we have the right to do that, right? And they hurt me. So it's okay if I hurt them back. That's, you know, that's just fairness. You know, it's a little, I can't even read my own writing here, but, you know, we just, sometimes we can feel we have the right. And, you know, when you think about that, that even sounds kind of silly coming out of our mouth, doesn't it? That we have a right to hurt somebody, you know? But yet that's what our flesh and our brain tries to, you know. I remember as kids, Mom, he hit me first, right? But who gets caught? It's the second person hitting back, you know? You see it all the time on the football field, you know? Somebody gets shoved and the refs don't see it. But then the guy turns around and starts hitting them. They're the ones that get tossed out of the game. And I thought, you know, that's just such a good picture of us, you know, thinking we're justified in doing something wrong. And it's almost worse, especially for Christians, and we know about God's and Jesus' forgiveness. In today's study, we consider the importance of living a life that is reconciled with God and with one another. And we learn that forgiveness is a vital component in this life. You know, we want to spend eternity, we're forgiven, and it's going to be a great thing. But it's also vital to our life here on earth if we want to live the Christian life. Our lives are too short to live with unresolved bitterness. I'm going to read that again. Our lives are too short to live with unresolved bitterness. And again, it's just, you know, we're poisoning ourselves. And, you know, why shorten our lives? And I've seen bitterness shorten people's lives, amen? Because it's just, it eats them up, literally, I think, from the inside, if we're harboring that. Consider a few effects of an unforgiving heart. They're listed on the worksheet. Bringing anger and bitterness into other relationships and new experiences. Kind of like the rotting oranges in the basket, you know, it can spread to others that we saw last week. Loss of joy in the present. Boy, that is so true. When we get bitter, you know, it's hard to be happy. We definitely don't have joy if we're thinking on that. An unforgiving heart can bring depression or anxiety. We certainly, half the world, it seems like, are taking medications for depression and anxiety, maybe more, you know, and things just come up and, you know, people are looking for treatment, and unforgiveness will do that, the bitterness. It can have a lack of meaning or purpose in life. In other words, you know, we just get so unforgiving, we just kind of don't care about anything. So just life doesn't seem to have any purpose or meaning anymore. You know, and we say all the time, well, God must have something for you to do. You're still here. And we need to have that attitude rather than, oh, you know, I'm just no good or I did. Or... Anyway, we just need to focus on him. Then we can have loss of valuable and enriching connectedness with others. And that's so true. So, you know, if we're, especially if you think of a church, if it's so unforgiving and you know, so you leave. And then when you leave all this connection and the people that can help you and support you and lift you up and be enriched in his word. Just because, you know, in ourselves we can't forgive something. We need to learn to forgive. Some people carry hurt and unforgiveness all the way to the grave. The story is told of an elder lady who never married. She requested that at her funeral there'd be no male pallbearers. You don't see that too often. In her handwritten note, she said, "Those men wouldn't take me out while I was living. I don't want them to take me out when I'm dead." And she'd have the right to be bitter, right? But at the same time, you know, what good does it do once you're dead? The only alternative to the bondage of bitterness is to practice forgiveness. If we don't want to be bound up in bitterness, practice forgiveness. So, number one is our need to receive forgiveness. First, we need to receive forgiveness. Learning to forgive begins with recognizing that we are all in need of forgiveness ourselves. Haven't we all done wrong to someone before and had need for forgiveness? You know, I think everybody, I'm praying this morning, we'd all agree that we've done things wrong and need forgiveness. Yes, we need to receive forgiveness, letter A, personally. We need to receive it personally. Each of us needs to receive forgiveness because we all transgress. We all sin, which means we all hurt others. And I think we'd all, unfortunately, agree that we have done that. Hopefully, again, usually it's unintentional, but all too often it is intentional. Sometimes we meant to hurt somebody. And, you know, that can be worse. I think those are the ones that are harder to apologize for. If we've done something unintentional, go, "Oh, man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way." You know, that can be a more common. Some people, again, don't think they ever did anything. But then when we deliberately do it, you know, we cause hurt in response or whatever the situation was because they deserved it. Those are a little harder to apologize, I think. But we need to learn to do that and see past justification, I guess. Sometimes we hold on to the hidden sin of bitterness. Sometimes we hide it pretty well. Verse 31 of our text speaks of putting away all bitterness. Sometimes we hold on to our hurts and then maybe even hide the bitterness we feel. At these times, bitterness becomes a stronghold in our lives, an area then in which Satan can bring destruction. You know, he sees it hiding in there. We're trying to hide it, but Satan will use that. And we got to be careful of that. Christian counselor has a quote there on the worksheet, Jay Adams. Anger may be handled wrongly in either one of two ways. So both of these are wrong. And so if you're going to treat it wrong, here's what you do. Blowing up or clamming up. And both are wrong. It's not good to hold it all in and let it fester in there and cause bitterness. But it's also not good to just blow up and throw stuff, and you know, especially if it's knives or that type of thing. You know, so we got to be careful because both those are wrong. And you know, we get angry, but what do we do? How to respond? We sin not. Amen. Heard that last week. We do not only need forgiveness for hidden sins, but also forgiveness for hateful sins. Have we not sometimes been the ones who spoke angry, hurtful words to others? I'm afraid so. Then verse 31 of our text lists several manifestations of the anger we show others. And the definitions of those things listed are there on the worksheet. Wrath refers to passion, heat, or fierce rage. I mean, we're talking wrath. You know, we picture God's wrath, but sometimes we react with wrath, just fierce rage. Anger suggests blowing up, violent emotion. You know, just this eruption of emotion that comes out, this anger. Benjamin Franklin had a quote there on the worksheet. It said, "Anger is never without a reason, but seldom with a good one." So yeah, we have reasons, but very seldom are they good reasons. And we need to be a little more recognition of that. Clamor is a loud, noisy complaint. You might think of someone who takes to social media to air their grievance against others. You know, I've heard of this. It's kind of one of the reasons I don't do a lot of social media or any at all, other than email, I guess. But, you know, they just make noise, right? They're all bold in caps. You know you're getting yelled at, you know. And it's just noise. Really, like Pastor shared, Never known anybody change their mind. But they're bold capping back and forth, you know, and calling names. And oh my goodness, I've read some of the little things after an article, and well, boy, these people are angry and they're bitter, and it's just sad. That's the camera. And then evil speaking refers to slander, where you're evilly spreading rumors or sayings, you're slandering somebody that was not true. You know, that's evil speaking. If you're doing it on purpose and saying untrue things to cause pain and hurt, that's evil speaking. So whether it is a hidden bitterness in our hearts or a hateful anger towards others, we are all guilty and are all in need of forgiveness. We all need that. Once a woman was summoned for a jury duty. She said to the judge, "Your Honor, I can't serve on a jury because I don't believe in capital punishment." The judge said, "Ma'am, this isn't a capital charge, so that doesn't matter. This is a case where a husband emptied out the wife's savings account of $14,000 to take a 3-day weekend with his girlfriend in Atlantic City." The woman said, "Okay, I'll serve. And I might be wrong about capital punishment." She's changing her mind depending on what that is, you know. And I know Josh has shared the story, of the Jewish, "Well, I don't believe in hell." Well, you know, what about Adolf Hitler? Hitler, you know, he's going to rot in hell, you know. And that, it depends what we're passionate about. You know, we might say one thing, but, you know, it comes out somehow truthfully. All right, that's personally. We also need to receive forgiveness spiritually. Letter B, spiritually. Because it's not just forgiveness from one another that we need. More than personal forgiveness, we need spiritual forgiveness. We don't only need to be reconciled to one another, we also need to be reconciled to God. Our sins, not just the sins listed here in Ephesians 4, but in any way in which we have broken God's law, have separated us from God. Romans 3:23, part of the Romans Road, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Folks, even if you don't think you've been there. We have all sinned. God's word said so, and in our hearts and minds, we know that's true. And then Romans 5:10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Praise God. He's the one that can reconcile us to God and bring us back together. To be reconciled, the definition there is to be back to union or friendship. You know, you're reconciled with somebody. You're back together. You know, that's a good thing. It is to be brought into friendship from the state of disagreement or enmity. Enmity is another word for hatred. So disagreement, even hatred, you can be reconciled and come back together. We are reconciled to God when we acknowledge our sin and receive his forgiveness. If you have already trusted Christ as your Savior, thank him for the joy of being reconciled to him. And realize that it is now your privilege to share the good news of how to be reconciled to God with others. Just part of that, we've been forgiven, pass it on. And let people know how they can be forgiven spiritually. Very important to do that. If you have and the verse there is 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 20 on the worksheet. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So it's interesting, you know, we hear that first one a lot, you know, that he's reconciled, we're committed to him, but immediately followed with, now then we are ambassadors. So where to take that out? You know, our ambassador to the other country. You know, you take in the knowledge and you go out and you spread that. That's being the ambassador for Jesus. All right. So number two is then our need to give forgiveness. We've received it, now we need to give it. All of us want to receive forgiveness, but we're not always willing to give forgiveness. So another story that my lovely veterinarian wife brought home to me. She didn't know that yet, but this woman was bitten by a rabid dog, and she was showing signs of infection. It looked like she was probably going to die from rabies. So Kathy told her to put her final affairs in order. So you better get things listed. You know, this looks bad. And the woman took a pen and paper and began writing furiously. In fact, she wrote and she wrote and she wrote. Finally, Kathy said, "That sure is a long will you're writing out." She snorted, "Will nothing. I'm making a list of all the people I'm going to bite." Whew. If she had that long a list of enemies, I think she had a lot of unforgiveness. Amen. So it's our nature to want to get even and to get even with others when they wrong us. But God calls us to a better way, forgiveness. Why should we forgive? It's a good question. Why? Well, letter A, because God calls us to forgive. God calls us to that. We need to forgive others because God has commanded us to do so. The word forgiving in verse 32 of our text means to give grace or pardon. And we sing of the wonderful grace of Jesus. And he asks us to give that or pardon others as well. The quote there on the worksheet says, "We are either scorekeepers or grace givers." In other words, we're either keeping score, we're keeping track of all the wrongs, we're making a list of people to bite. Or we just give grace. We want to be grace givers. We either remember the wrong that others do to us, holding it against them for the future, or we extend grace to them when they wrong us. God tells us to trust him to be the judge. Thankfully, it's not like we don't have to think they're ever going to be judged if they were wronged. But we can trust God to do that. There in the worksheet, Romans 12, verses 19 and then 21. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." In other words, we're not going to win the battle returning evil for evil. You know, we're going to overcome evil by letting God do it. He wins. He's going to be victorious and overcome evil. Vengeance belongs to God, and he can settle the score much better than we can. And I like that. You know, even at our worst, hopefully we're not going to be, you know, not going to shoot somebody, I hope, or, you know, or do something. But, you know, God's going to condemn them. Much worse punishment than I could ever dole out. It's good to remember that. There's a quote there on your worksheet about forgiveness sets us on the path to liberty. It says, "When you forgive, you set two people free. One of them is you." But, wow. You know, that gives us our own liberty. If we can forgive, we're one of the two that are now being freed up. Because we don't have that, we're not bound up in that. But if you hold on to feelings of bitterness, you become the captive of those very emotions. We can get caught up in that. The Apostle Peter once asked Jesus how often he should forgive someone who wronged him. The Jewish tradition was to forgive three times. I wasn't really aware of that. They had a tradition, okay, you got to forgive him three times. So Peter, when he said, you know, how many times? Seven? Peter probably thought his offer to forgive was seven times was going above and beyond. You know, and the Jews were only supposed to do three, Lord. How about if I do seven? You know, it's kind of like, you know, is that good enough? It's there on your worksheet, Matthew 18, 21 and 2. "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?' Jesus saith unto him, 'I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.'" It's got the math up there, the 490 times. It's a lot more than seven, you know, a bunch more than three. Basically, to do it forever is what he's saying. You just need to keep forgiving. You just Jesus was telling Peter, forget keeping score. Just forgive. You know, I've had some people, I think, start making notches for hoping to get to 490. You know, that's really not the point of it. You know, it's to just I hopefully get tired of that after you hit about 101, you know. And just don't keep score. All right. He calls us to forgive. And then B, forgiveness brings healing. Forgiveness brings healing. We need to forgive not only because it is commanded, but also because of the good things it brings us. We're talking really healing for ourselves. Forgiving heals us from past hurt, and it frees us from the bondage of bitterness. You know, that made me think when I was going through here, the old phrase, you don't hear it much anymore, I think, probably good reasons, because it's hogwash, frankly. And that is, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, I thought about that, and it's just so untrue. That really is hogwash. You know, we heal up from broken arms or cuts, don't we? You know, we might get a scab on it, and pretty soon the scab goes away, and we're healed. But words, sometimes words that hurt us will last forever. And, to, you know, some of the scars and stuff, and, you know, maybe we've hidden the scab or hidden the scar, but all of a sudden something will pop back up decades later and rip that scab off, and then we're back into just having that hurt all over again. And just over some words. So, you know, that's just a great example that we've used a lot. But it's just good to come back to is the example of Joseph. So we'll look at that again real quick. You know, just think about Joseph again in the Old Testament. His father Jacob favored him and gave him a coat of many colors. The favoritism provoked jealousy in his brothers. And they literally sold him into slavery and faked his death to keep their father from knowing what they had done. Over the next 13 years, Joseph suffered greatly because of their betrayal, but he chose the path of forgiveness as he trusted God to fulfill his will. God's grace was upon Joseph, and he eventually rose to power in Egypt. When famine struck Israel, Joseph's brothers had to go to Egypt to look for food. Not only did Joseph show them kindness, but he also sent his brothers back to his father to bring the entire family to Egypt where they would not starve. When Joseph's father eventually died, the brothers became afraid that Joseph would now exact revenge upon them. So 13 years later, they still had the scars. They had that scab they thought Joseph was going to rip off because they knew they deserved it. They pleaded for his forgiveness. His answer to them was so full of God's grace. Look at it once more there on your worksheet, Genesis 50, verses 16 and 17 and 20. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as is this day, to save much people alive. Wow. You know, just the effect of what true forgiveness can have. Who knows what it might save years down the road? You know, and just even some recent example of just people being steadfast and sticking with it, and people literally getting saved, giving their life over to Jesus because of the example that's been set for them for years and years. Didn't want it for a long time, but eventually it worked. God won out. Joseph's brothers fractured their family relationship by their evil deed of jealousy. This led to a rift between the brothers, but when Joseph chose to forgive, he brought unity and healing to the family. Forgiveness brings physical, emotional, and relational benefits in our lives as well. Some of these benefits of giving forgiveness include the list there on your worksheet, healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and improved self-esteem. Wow, I thought we had pills for all those. You know, that's what the world would have us do, amen? Yeah, we can just get all that just through some nice healing from the Holy Spirit through forgiveness. Even when we recognize these benefits, we can't forgive in our own strength. As we've studied for so many of these things, it's hard to do in the flesh. We can't do it on our own. Forgiveness may benefit us, but we need divine enabling to grant it. We need the Holy Spirit. So, we need to forgive because, letter C, because God enables us to forgive. He doesn't ask us to do something and then not give us the power to do it if we avail ourselves of that. Verse 32 speaks of forgiving one another. Even as for Christ's sake, God hath forgiven you. Notice that God's forgiveness forgives us on the merit of his son's shed blood, not because we deserve it. Praise God. If we had to wait till we deserved it, we'd still be stuck in it. Similarly, he wants us to be Christ-like in our attitudes towards forgiving. We are to forgive others because we ourselves have been forgiven by Christ, even though we don't deserve it. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones has a quote there on your worksheet. Whenever I see myself before God and realize something of what my blessed Lord has done for me at Calvary, I am ready to forgive anybody anything. I cannot withhold it. I do not even want to withhold it. Wow. And that's somebody really getting a grasp on picturing what Jesus did on the cross for me. Being not even wanting to hold a grudge against somebody. Because Jesus didn't hold any against me, praise God. You know, and I just thought, what if we don't want to forgive? When we don't want to forgive, if we say, I don't want to forgive them. You know, and sometimes we feel that way. What if, when we get that way, what if we start thinking, what if Jesus didn't want to forgive me? You know, just go make that connection. I don't want to forgive them. Ooh, what if Jesus didn't want to forgive me? You know, and just and make that connection. Because his word tells us there on 1 John 2:12 on the worksheet, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. You are forgiven you for his name's sake. Wow. What a blessing that he's offered us. You know, there's a great book that Kathy and I read, maybe if you've heard it, called Unbroken. And the story is here in our workbook this morning. An American World War II veteran, Louis Zamperini, had suffered severe brutality as a prisoner of war in Japan. When he returned to the U.S. after the war, he was consumed with a desire to get even. To get even with the Japanese, especially his camp commander, Mutsushiro Watanabe, also known as the Bird. He married, but quickly turned to alcoholism to cope with his inner pain and his nightmares. Said he'd have nightmares all the time about his treatment in the camp. And of course, you know, get mean or get just bitter and angry over that. His marriage soon began to fall apart, again, causing more pain by holding it in. Some years later, Lewis's wife got saved at a Billy Graham crusade in Los Angeles, invited him to come the next night. On the second night he was there, he remembered the promise he had made to God while adrift on a raft and then in prison. That night, he decided to trust Christ. He then chose to forgive his captors, and his nightmares disappeared for good. The next year, October of 1950, he went to Sagamo Prison in Tokyo, where many war criminals were imprisoned, and expressed forgiveness to them. Zamperini shared his salvation testimony and got to lead two of the men to receive Christ. 4 days before his 81st birthday, in January of 1998, Zamperini ran a leg in the Olympic torch relay for the Winter Olympics in Nagano, Japan, not far from the prisoner of war camp where he had been held. While there, he attempted to meet Matsuhiro Watanabe to offer forgiveness. Unfortunately, the man refused and basically never expressed regret. But it didn't stop Zamperini from forgiving him anyway. and just relieving his own bitterness and stuff that was growing or that had been in his heart. So is there someone you need to forgive today? There is power in the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ to set you free from bitterness and enable you to forgive. All of us need to receive forgiveness, yes. Perhaps some of us need to learn to let go of our burden of bitterness and give it to the Lord. So how do we get forgiveness? Number three, our way to obtain forgiveness. Our way. Some people don't feel worthy of forgiveness. They feel they can't obtain it, that it's out of reach, or their sin is just too great. But there is hope. The Bible tells us that while it's true that our sins have separated us from God, he made a way for us to reconcile. Reconcile, letter A, from God. That's the first way. Verse 32 of our text tells us that God freely offers forgiveness to all who will seek him. This is something he repeats throughout the Bible. Psalm 86:5 on your worksheet. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He welcomes everybody to come for forgiveness. You may think that your sin is too great, but the good news is that God's mercy is greater. We sang this morning, greater than all our sins. God will never turn away any sinner who comes to him for forgiveness. There is no sin too big for God to forgive. Kind of hard for us to picture sometimes. We all have these evil things that seem unforgivable, but not to God. We ask for forgiveness from others that they may reject it, just like Watanabe did. A sign that bitterness has taken hold. But God can do that and is willing to do that. Then letter B, we get it through Christ. Our forgiveness through Christ. The way we receive forgiveness is through Jesus. Verse 32 tells us that God forgives us for Christ's sake. To receive this forgiveness through Christ, we must first recognize that we do indeed need it. We have to admit that we need forgiveness, that we have sinned. Isaiah 59:2 on the worksheet. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Notice the sins have hidden. But, he hasn't. We've hid them ourselves with our sins. And Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam first sinned, and then we all became heirs of that, and we all sinned. So yes, our sins separate us from God. You've probably all seen this picture of the canyon between God and man. All of us need forgiveness because we fall short of God's glory. God is just, and he cannot turn a blind eye to our sin. So instead, he came to the world and took his payment for our sins on the cross. The only way we can be reconciled to God is through Christ's payment for us on the cross. Let the cross bridge the deep canyon between. Jesus shed his blood for us, making forgiveness possible. In your worksheet, Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wow. And then 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. In other words, all this stuff and all your inheritance, it just doesn't matter. All is vanity. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. We could have all the gold in the world, and we couldn't buy our way into heaven. Just have to rely on Jesus' blood. We no longer need to labor under guilt because Jesus has already taken our sins to the cross. As he hung on the cross in agony, looking at those who had nailed him, the first words he uttered were those of forgiveness. Jesus forgives, Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. Pretty incredible. The great heart and love he had for us. These are the same words Christ has for us today. Father, forgive them. We are not worthy of Christ's forgiveness, and we cannot do enough or pay enough to make ourselves worthy. But Jesus took our payment on himself. He became sin for us that we might receive his righteousness. Now in the worksheet, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We can be made righteous by trusting, not in our good works, but in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Sin separates us from God. The cross redeems us and brings us back to God. And in that process, Jesus says, "I forgive you." It's a wonderful gift that he's given us. What am I doing here? All right. So, in conclusion, when we consider our need for forgiveness in human relationships, how much greater is our need for forgiveness from God? You know, we think we need it and we want to get it from people, but we need so much more from him. And he stands willing to give it every time. The Bible tells us that as Jesus hung on the cross, there were two thieves crucified with him, one on each side. One of them challenged him, "If you are the Son of God, save us now." The other thief, who recognized his sin and believed that Jesus was God who came to pay for that sin, said, "Lord, remember me this day in paradise." Jesus replied, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Of the two thieves on the cross, one chose to be bitter and reject Christ, while the other chose to believe in Christ and receive his forgiveness. Perhaps you have already trusted Christ as your Savior and received his forgiveness. If so, remember that there are people around you who have never heard the gospel. Ask God daily to give you the opportunity to share with people how they can be reconciled to God through his sacrificial death and resurrection for them. You know, just made me think just now the wonderful giveaway we had yesterday. The people coming through and you know, just feeling a little bit of love and some escape. And it's just so thankful. It was really incredible. It took me an hour to just wind down to be able to go to bed. Because, you know, just the thanksgiving out there for really some really pretty small gesture when you think about it. I mean, not to belittle all the work and effort and the volunteers. We had a great group. But just in, you know, for what the result it had in people just being excited that we were doing something. You heard that a lot. Oh, thank you for doing this. It's just so wonderful that, you know, to sacrifice a little can get such great results. And then we think of Jesus. My goodness. But perhaps you've not yet trusted Christ as your Savior. Or maybe you're not even sure what that means. God has made it so simple. We are sinners separated from God. But he offers us forgiveness and eternal life as a gift that he paid for you on the cross. Romans 6:23 on the worksheet says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The greatest gift. All that is left for us to do is receive the gift, calling on the Lord and trusting him alone for our salvation. For Romans 12:13 on the worksheet says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. God sent us a Savior. The greatest gift in the world is forgiveness from God. The person who knows his sins are forgiven is blessed and happy, joyful. If you haven't accepted that gift this morning yet, please contact us. We'll be happy to help you open that gift. God's holding it out to you, and we just, if any are listening out there that haven't receive that or understand that, please let us know. We want to make sure you get that gift. Psalm 32:1 on the worksheet finally says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Praise God that he covers our sins. And because of this forgiveness we have received from God, we ought also to be people who forgive one another. Just for that reason alone, we should be able to forgive others. Let's pray. Father God, we do are so thankful, Lord. It's almost no words to explain how thankful we are that you have forgiven us, that our sins can be forgiven, that you offered to take those upon yourself at the cross at Calvary. Lord, you bore our sins and took them, and all we have to do is open that gift and receive it. Thank you so much, Lord, for those of us that have received that, and we get to spend eternity with you. What a wonderful blessing. We just thank you for that. We give you all the praise and glory for it, Lord. Now we pray, too, for the lesson, the sermon to follow this morning, that you would just bless the pastor. He speaks the words of life to the people that have come to hear from you. So bless our time this morning and to come. Thank you for each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this week's devotions, to reinforce us in forgiveness, you're not going to get away just by leaving church today. You're going to do your devotional. The manifestation of anger. Number two, a message of reconciliation. Three, anger bombs. I like that one. You kind of, that explosion. Number four, seeking revenge or pursuing peace. Which one are we doing? Are we keeping score or are we giving grace? And number five, forgive as Christ forgave. Wow. And week ends with a good challenge right there. And then next week you'll come back and we'll have a lesson on comforting one another. You know, probably a little more enjoyable. As we get comfort and give comfort. Sometimes that's a lot easier than forgiveness. Amen. But still important. We're instructed to comfort one another. So, again, the message, let's all get together in heaven, in one accord. Let's get together and be in one accord. We're going to sing our song if you stand. And